How you doing, everybody? It is your guy, Taz and Angelin, man. We are back. What a good one. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all right now, before we even get to the sponsor. If you do not want to think, if you do not want to activate your mind, if you are only seeking to be entertained, turn around. This is not the one. This one here will only be for two people. The believers who are also thinkers. Nobody else will rock with it, and that's fine. But it's a good one. So before we get there, go to our sponsor, Lone Star Platinum Auto Glass. A full service windshield repair service, where they make house calls, job calls. If you set the appointment, they can come to your home, come to your job, do the repair, so you don't have to sit and wait long periods of time. And usually they can get them done as fast as 15 minutes or as low as $50. The number to that establishment is 940-539-5912. Text is preferred to enhance the ability to trace everything, including addresses, prices, you know, times, dates, all of those things. Text message helps keep traceability. So text messages are preferred, but if need be, then calls are also accepted. Again, the number is 940-539-5912. Now, guys. Again, I'm gonna give y'all another one. I'm gonna give you a second out because I'm trying to tell you that's how this one's different. Dramatic stare, different, all right? And I'm trying to I'll say it this way. My body isn't operating at 100%, but there's no time to delay this one. This is a message that I've been given for probably 2 or 3 months ago. And I knew that this was going to be one of my first video podcasts coming back. Initially, I thought it would be my first, but I want to go ahead and do the recap of my birthday, and especially since I hadn't done one for last year, so I wanted that to be the first one instead. But we're here now, and I don't even know how I'm worth the title yet right now, but I'm trying to see how I want to start this off for you guys. Perfect. The people who run the world, not the people who influence society, not the people who own businesses. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who employ the people, who employ the people who are CEOs over the businesses. Like, I'm talking about the people who actually run the world, right? Those people. How do they run the world? What system do they use? Primarily. Banking. The families. Their banking families. Now, excuse me, my voice, like I said, it may be a little bit raspy in comparison to other times, but again, I'm getting back to 100%. This is basically a toddy without the alcohol. Ginger, turmeric, emergency, some good stuff. But those families, they run the world by banking. Why is that? Now, I'm of the personal belief that the people who run the world are not of Jehovah Elion's light, because the results of their influence and control does not mimic that or mirror that, is what I meant to say. Does not mirror that, if that makes sense to you. So if they're not of Adonai's light, I'm gonna just keep giving different, you know, his different names. So yeah, they're, if they are not of El Shaddai's light, then, you know, they are inherently of darkness. They're just, it's all it is to it. It's only one or two. You know what I'm saying? You got to be one of the two. That's just reality. I don't care what people tell you. Oh, no, you can be. Man, no, you can't. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. The road to hell is broad and wide. There are a lot of ways to get there. And guess what, man? Most of them are unintentionally volunteering. Most of the people in my, this is what I believe. I believe that most of the people who will inhabit hell will be people who unintentionally volunteered. What I mean by that is, one of the enemy's best tricks is making you think that your demise was your choice. That's a whole different message right there. I'm gonna just drop that and look, I'll pick that up later. That's a whole nother message on its own. But y'all, it would behoove you, when you're listening to these messages, and I say this so humbly, it would behoove you to document what you're hearing. It would behoove you to share this to someone who you know will find value in these words. Humbly speaking, because it's not about me, it's about the message. Getting back to it. The reason why these families rule the world through banking is because the enemy is a copycat. Whatever he see Jehovah, I ain't gonna get funny with it. Whatever he sees God do. We're just gonna talk, because I haven't used God this time yet, so this is actually still a new one. But anyway, whatever the enemy sees God do, he copies, he mimics. That's just how it goes. It's reality. So if the enemy is ruling the world, so this is also how we can learn God's will. If we learn to pay close attention to things, when we learn how the enemy moves, we can also see some ways of how God works by looking at the opposite. So if he's ruling the natural world through banking, it's only because he's mimicking God ruling the spirit world through banking. Now, what does that mean, Taz? I am so elated that you asked. What that means is, you cannot withdraw from an account you have not made a deposit into. That is called robbery. Every bank robbery was a person taking money from the bank that they did not put into the bank. I said this example to someone not that long ago, actually. If a person has $5 million and they go to the bank and say, I want to take out $1 million, they're not robbing the bank for $1 million. Excuse me. They're not robbing the bank for $1 million. They're simply making a withdrawal based on what they put in first pause. Right? So the reason why the world is being run like this is because God is an investor in bank, an investor slash banker God. I'll probably say those interchangeably at times. Because you have to invest. That's why he says you have to have the faith of a mustard seed. Why did Jesus use so many farmer references, guys? Why do we think this is? It's a lot of reasons. I'm gonna tell you, it's a lot of reasons. He's telling you that to get the things, to be able to reap a harvest, you're gonna have to have diligent hard work. He's saying that if you are to reap your benefits, you are going to have patience and learn to nurture and learn to persevere and learn to fight off the vultures. Like, there are so many lessons that can go into it, but one of them is this. One seed can be the beginning of an entire farm. One seed is the beginning of a tree. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree with the proper time and nurturing, right? The trees the apples that tree produces will be able to feed people for generations. That came from one seed. So he's saying to us, and this is why I say invest or God interchangeably. We invest when we deal with God. Because what do people know about investments? You do not invest money today expecting to make a withdrawal of a huge payout tomorrow. That's not how investments work. Investments happen over time. Farming, time, patience. I'm telling you, there's a lot of reasons why that's one of his more common, commonly used like parable constructions or illustrations. But yeah, so when you're a farmer, you have seasons where you know that you're not going to be able to get anything out of this. I'm gonna finish, before I go back to that, let me finish this about investing, because I was saying that too. The reason why, and this is why I say they're interchangeable, because they're both accurate in different times. So God is telling us again with the planting of the seed, you have to invest first. We have to make the first move. We have to invest first. So we have to invest that seed first. That's number one. And then we will learn those other things. The patience, we'll learn the nurturing, we'll learn the ability to tell seasons apart. Because they tell us seasons are, you know, from this day to this day and this day to this. That's not what Earth tells us. Earth has its own seasons. Reality has its own seasons. And there's times where this land will yield a harvest, and there's times where it won't. That's the seasons. And those are the seasons of life. There are times in our lives where we'll be able to pull from any source, man. Hey, if I need $20, I got 30 people saying, yeah, they'll give me $20. No, I'm good, man, I'm good. Then there'll be other times where if you need $5, nobody will have it. So it's important for us to learn our seasons, because when we mislabel them, we end up eating seeds thinking it's harvest time when it's time to be sown. It's time to be planting. And that will cause people to be looking around with their hands out, empty-handed, empty-pocketed, because they ate the seeds that they were supposed to be sowing for the next season. So now during harvest season, during sowing season, looking around. And what does that make your reaping season look like? That's the danger of being out of order. It can throw multiple seasons off if we stay out of his will too long. So we have to invest the seed first. We have to make the deposit first. We cannot make those people that the people who the secret manifesting and all those, Listen, man, those people are teaching the dangerous doctrine, in my humble opinion. And the reason why I say that is because I can't go to the lottery, like the department where they pay out people with winning tickets. I can't go to their front desk and say, I want whatever the Mega Million is at that point. I want that right now. Knowing I haven't even bought a ticket. Why did I use that example? A lot of times we like to use the philosophies and the teachings and the formula of faith without the investment of it. We have the faith in the system of how to receive blessings more than we have faith in the person who supplies the blessings. That's what manifestation, well, that's what a lot of these new age people are using the term manifesting as. Just speaking into existence. Look, man, that's a God concept. That's a God philosophy. That's a God-given ability. But when we don't reverence, or when we don't appreciate God and give Him glory for that, and we don't acknowledge Him being the one or the reason why we got it in the first place, when we say it's us because I woke up every morning and I looked in the mirror and I said stuff, or I got a construction board that a third grader could use for a reading fair project and I put up a vision board. And I'm not knocking vision boards, by the way. I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm only saying don't allow people to think that that's where the blessing comes from. That is a very powerful tool in how you show God the urgency and the strength of the desire of those things, because the Bible says, God says, I'll give you all of your needs and some of your wants. You know, so there's nothing wrong with being intentional. Take another sip. There's nothing wrong with being intentional with stating our desires. But again, it's dangerous to remove God from that when He's the one who supplies it. Because it's thievery, man, it's robbery. And I'm telling you, man, it's not, you're robbing the bank, man. And what happens when the FBI knock on your door and say, we caught you? It's not a conversation. Think about all the rap artists, hip hop artists and stuff that they say when the feds come, they have a 90%+ arrest rate. Why? Because they don't even knock on your door unless they already got enough to convict you. They're not trying to go back and forth and besmirch their good record. They're not trying to tarnish that. They're trying to keep it pristine. So they're not even going to let you know that they're paying attention to you until they got you already, usually. And for those who are trying to reap God's blessings without investing into God's bank first, you do not want, forget the FBI, you do not want the GOD force to be knocking on your door for theft. So please realize that these are God concepts that they're removing God from. And they're teaching, again, a very dangerous doctrine. So do not invest in the robbery of the bank of God, please. Or the bank of heaven. Should I call it the bank of heaven? So we're 20 minutes in, and I'm going to tell you now how to make the investments. My apologies for taking so long, but we're here now. The way you make investments or deposits is through sacrifice. Sacrifice is the currency of the spirit world. And I can explain that quickly two ways, because again, the enemy will always try to mimic God. He has no originality. Excuse me. He has no originality, so he loves to copy. So the way I prove this in two quick ways. One, we will go to the Bible. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, a living sacrifice." That's the currency. What is fasting? Fasting is allowing the body to die temporarily. When it rumbles and saying, "I'm starving," that's the body saying, "I think I'm going to die because I ain't got no food in such a long time. Feed me before I die." So that's why we fast, to die a little bit and dedicate that pain and that discomfort. I did this morning. I woke up and I could have eaten a certain type of food, because I'm fast right now. I ain't trying to tell my business, but you know, yeah, because I'm a personal person, so I don't really like trying to, you know, give my personal business like that. But something that fit within the proximity of my fast was within 10 feet of me, and I could have eaten pretty nicely. And I said, "Nah, God, I dedicate this hunger pain to you. I want you to know that I'm willing to sacrifice this meal or this, you know, eating right now at all, even though this fits into the parameters. I'm not even going to eat that right now because I want to let you know I'm serious about this." You know what I'm saying? So that's what we have to do. That's an investment. That was an investment. That's an investment. See, we can do it knowingly and we can plan to do it, but as long as we're sincere and we're actually giving it back to God, that's when it becomes an investment, right? We have to sacrifice. Now I'm going to show you the other way. That sacrifice is the currency of the spirit world. With the Illuminati, when they talk about how they get their money on, you know, the YouTube videos and all that, we see it all the time. I've been seeing it since I was in high school, and don't worry about when it was. But they say they have to do a what? Blood sacrifice. After they do that, then they get their money. That's what they say, right? So that's how the enemy does it. And then the Bible tells us, "Be ye holy, a living sacrifice." So, and then of course there are other scriptures, but that's enough for me. That lets me know exactly what I need to see. So what is a sacrifice? It is pain with a purpose. God, I dedicate this hunger pain to you to let you know that I'm for real. That's purpose. I felt pain. I gave purpose to that pain that made it the investment. That's how we make investments. That's how we get the blessings of God, not just manifesting nice things into our lives and robbing the bank of heaven. We want to invest so we can, you can get a whole, man, you can get a whole tree, man. You can get a whole vine of watermelon. You hear me? Like, from one seed, we get all of those things. He's showing us something. If you just plant that one thing, and you take care of that one thing, if you're faithful over little, I heard this in a song that's really good. He said, "If you're faithful over little, make you ruler over much. I'll make you ruler over much." But he said, "If you're faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much." The seed is the little. The results is the much. The harvest is the much. Right? So when we experience discomfort in our life, we don't complain. We do not say, "Lord, I just wish this was something with it." No, we do not complain about our situation. We do not wish our situation was different anymore. We ask God, what does he want us to do with the situation? "Lord, what? You put me in this situation for, or you allowed me to be here for a reason. This situation is unique, and I don't think nobody else in my life has ever been here. But I also know you ain't just bring me here to dip out on me." No, you ain't do that. So what do you need me to learn here? What do you need me to invest here? What do you need me to withdraw here? What do you need me to do? And when we speak like that to our situations, instead of talking about how bad it is, life will life. The enemy will be the enemy. But God will. El Shaddai will always be El Shaddai. I told y'all in my last episode, one of the things I say repeatedly, I serve Adonai the Unconquerable. I'm more than a conqueror myself because of that. What I look like being conquered. Yeah, I get hit. Because it's a spiritual warfare. I've never been in the military. I've never done any type of military anything. As a civilian in their terms, I would assume that none of them go to war with guns, expecting to never see a bullet. That's just how I think. I could be wrong because I've never been in that situation with them, but I can't see myself fully gearing up after all this training, all this preparation, all these analytics, all these strategies, all these things that I've had to intake. I can't imagine that all of this, and when it's go time, the stuff that I trained for, when I'm put in that situation, I can't imagine thinking that there's not going to be a bullet shot anywhere. Because what did I train for if I didn't expect anything at that time? What did I actually train for? And if I think there's going to be nothing ahead, if I think there are going to be no attacks, did I train fully anyway? Or did I take the easy way because I thought it was going to be an easy thing? Until I got met with it. I'm going to stay focused. When we experience situations in our lives that make us sad, that make us mad, that make us feel any of those types of emotions that are not conducted for a clear headspace. If it's not something that's making you happy, proud, you know, things like that, if it's something that's to bring you down, what we have to do is two things. One, first, dedicate that discomfort back to God. Say, Lord, I don't know what you got planned for me, but I appreciate you for having a plan for me. Now, what do you want me to do with this? There's nothing that I can experience that's too great for me to experience because you told me that all things work for my good because I love you. So if everything works for my advantage, then Lord, how? And that doesn't mean that we're always going to get an answer. Sometimes his answer is, hey, chill out and watch and trust me. Sometimes that's the response. Don't question me right now. Trust me. There are other times where we ask him and he'll give us revelation after revelation. But that's the importance of knowing seasons. When are we supposed to be investing? When are we supposed to be withdrawing? When are we supposed to be reaping? When are we supposed to be sowing? It's there. You understand? God is a banker / investor God. And the way we make investments is through sacrifice. Sacrifice, again, is pain with purpose. That is what sacrifice is. If we complain about the pain, we do not apply purpose to it. We empower it. That's what we do. We empower it. We feed it. And then it becomes our focus. And if the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, but we sitting up here stuck looking at our situation, What's the result of that? Has that ever worked out? I can tell you, for me, it's never worked out in my favor. Not me. So we have to start making conscious efforts to make investments. We have to start seeing situations that are unfavorable to us and don't just talk about how we feel about it. Actually discuss how we want it to work out. Instead of, if a person gets written up at work, instead of being mad and complaining because they got written up, just, Lord, how do I prevent this from happening? What do you need me to learn from this, Lord? Are they accurate, or should I contest this? Like, what do you need me to do as a follow-up? And again, sometimes the answer is nothing. I need you to do nothing right now. I need you to be still and know that I am Adonai. Be still and know I am me. Nothing, no one is greater. That's the answer sometimes. And that's the one that's the second most disliked answer is sit there and wait. The most disliked answer is no. Hey, Lord, can I have no? Lord, I'm so ready for you to send me my... Nope, you're not. You think you are, but you're not. And the way I know you're not is because you're begging for them. But if you were doing the work, if you were investing into yourself and focusing into your, how do I improve? How do I continue to get closer to you, God? Then you will be in my will and everything will work out how it's supposed to work out anyway. You won't have to be asking for it. Because you'd be asking for my will to be done instead of your will to be done. See, this is how I think. This is just how I think about God. And this is how we communicate with each other. The Holy Spirit communicates with people different ways. You know, this is how we talk. Because I'm straight up with them. We have to be. One of the biggest issues nowadays is people think he's some out of reach deity that just looks at us as little ants that could just get squashed at a moment. And though he has the ability to look at us like that, he looks at us as his children. Those of us who live the life of his children. Because the Bible clearly talks about weed, or the weeds and the wheat. Okay? Clearly talks about that. So everybody is not a child of God. Everybody is not. Those who choose to forfeit that. No different than those who choose to believe that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, so that those who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Believe. You have to do something first. If you believe, because see, I've done all this. But if you don't believe it, then how do you get this? This is my thing, man. And I'm going to go off for a second, but this is very important and actually relevant. My thing is this. For the people who say that they want to go to heaven, but they do not believe in Jesus Christ, or they do not believe that he was our Lord and Savior, I don't understand. I don't understand how someone who does not want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, how do they want heaven when that's the outcome that he told people about? That's the kingdom of God that he came and told people about. So how do you want to go to a place that a made up man talked about? That's like me right now saying, I can't wait to get to Konoha. For y'all who don't know anime, that's the hidden leaf village, or the village hidden in the leaves. And that's the village that Naruto grew up in. That's like me saying that right now. I want to go right now. I'm going to put my Crocs on. I'm going to put them in sports mode because, you know, I might have to fight a couple Chunin and all that. I don't know. So I'm going to put the Crocs in sports mode and get right on there to the hidden village. Or talk like I'm from Pokemon and say I want to go to the Kanto region. Or like I'm from Dragon Ball Z and say I want to go to Planet Namek. This is all foolish when I'm saying it to you. It's all comical, right? That's how it sounds when a person says they want to go to heaven, but they don't believe Jesus is Christ. It's our Lord and Savior. That's the place that he talked about us being able to go to if we believe in him. So how do you think you get entry otherwise? It doesn't make sense, guys. It doesn't make sense. But we have to think about it. One of the things I am going to repeatedly say to you is we have to think more. You got to think. And I'm going to tell you why. Because that's how I became a thinker. I didn't wake up like this. I woke up like this. But I didn't wake up like this, all right? What you guys don't know. And for the people who know me, they don't even know this. I have not always been a thinker. I have not always been a strategist. I have not always been a well-planned guy. And I'm not saying like I've reached the pinnacle of that now. But what I'll say to you is the level of thought that I put into the things that I say and the things that I do, that is evidence of God's grace. And I'll tell you how. When I was a kid, man, for years, I mean, multiple 365 day sessions, multiple of them, my mom had to repeatedly drill into my mind, Stephen, you got to think before you speak. You can't just say that because it's true. Just because you write don't mean you can say that. That's an adult. You can't say that to them like that. That's out of order. She had to keep. But I'm like, Mama, I wasn't wrong. I was just telling the truth. No, you out of line, though. That's not your place. You have to think, how is that person going to receive that message coming from you? Even if it's right, how are they going to receive that coming from you in front of all the other students? Because I will correct teachers sometimes. Look, when I was a kid, if it's right, it's right. I didn't understand why I was. What were we talking about? Because if you're teaching and you're saying a word incorrectly, then you're teaching the entire class and all the multiple classes that you're responsible for the incorrect grammar. And one of my things is grammar. You can't do that. Stay in focus. So my mom had to drill into my head, man. Stephen, you got to think first. You got to think before you speak. You got to think before you act. When I started hitting my growth spurts, you know, boys, we like to wrestle, you know, especially back then, WWE, we had the Attitude Era, Stone Cold, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, Stone Cold, Chris Jericho is what I was going to say, Chris Jericho. You know, we had the Attitude Era, Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, come on, man, Sting, come, bruh. So we wrestling, man. So I started hitting my growth spurts, but I'm still wrestling with my friends because we wrestling, man. But then my friends started getting hurt sometimes. My mom again, Steve, you got to think before you act. You're bigger than them, pause. You're growing at a faster rate than them. You're in the weight room playing sports. They're not. You're getting stronger than they are. You gotta think. You have to think about that. So this stuff is from years of dedication. And that's why I say it's God's grace, because he put my mom and other people in my life to make me more thoughtful. Because we need that. We have to be thoughtful. We cannot continue to move aimlessly through life. And that's how many of us are moving, or many of them, because I can't say us. I was trying, but I can't include myself in a group. Many people are moving through life aimlessly, without aim, just existing, just waking up, going to work because I'm used to going to work, playing a game because I'm used to playing a game when I get off work, going to sleep because I'm used to going to sleep after I play the game, and then waking up and going back to work because I'm used to going to work after I wake up. And then just doing it just repeatedly. It's just wash, rinse, and repeat. And that's not how life is supposed to be. But we do that when we get out of the will, which is why we have to be sure that we are in His will. And we have to be sure that we dedicate the pain and discomfort that we experience in life back to God. Because only then will the pain become sacrifice. And once it's sacrifice, then it can become an investment. See, I'm gonna tell you, one of the biggest lies is that when you become a believer, life is good. The enemy will never touch you again. You ain't got no problems. You got the Holy Spirit and you can never be touched again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't know if you watched The Chosen, but I don't know if this is a biblical verse. This is why I'm actually referencing The Chosen, because it was said in there, but I don't know if it's from scripture. But some of the things they say are, many of the things they say are. But when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God to some people, you know, just people on the street, they were saying, well, since you're here, why is there still pain and hurting in the world, even though you're here and you're the Messiah? He said, on this earth, bones will still break. On this earth, hearts will still break, which is why I tell you about the kingdom of heaven, where darkness does not exist. None of those things will be, right? So he says it's going to be pain physical and it's going to be pain internal. It's going to be pain. But what makes it a sacrifice and what makes it valuable is applying the purpose of giving God glory through it. That's why it becomes an investment. That's why it becomes a seed. And that's why you'll yield a harvest. That's why you can withdraw in the right season. So look, I appreciate you guys for being along for this mental ride, because hey, I gave y'all two warnings. Y'all didn't want to think, look, I gave y'all two chances. Y'all could have backed up out of here. I gave y'all two chances. After that, hey, you chose to be here for this. And I appreciate you for that. So I will ask you that if you found value in anything that I said, that you share this video with someone else who you know will find value in it. This will be on my YouTube. This will be on my Facebook. This will be on my Instagram. My Instagram page and TikTok are both Tazz the Angel. It's T-A-Z-Z underscore D-A underscore A-N-G-E-L. That's for both of them. And for my YouTube channel, it is Tazz the Angel Media. So I ask that you, like I said, like, comment, and share. If you found any value in the things that I said, if you found any value in any of this, please do not hesitate to share this, because this information it's important. It's really important. And the more people who gets informed, the better we as God's people are. So I thank you. I appreciate you guys so much. You have a great day. I love you. I appreciate you.